I think I thought it was pretty funny when I was reading it as like a 10-year-old.
That's fair. And I think a few months ago, when we were first talking about this, you did make a comment. You were saying you wonder if it still holds up.
I was saying that when I first read the manga, I thought it was like really deep. Like I definitely like understood where it was going in terms of the political allegories and the parallels to our, you know, social climate. And I was wondering if that was just like, if it was like super heavy handed and that was just like me being like, I'm 14 and this is deep, or if it's actually a pretty sophisticated allegory. What are your thoughts?
My personal thoughts? I mean, I certainly don't read a lot of shonen manga anymore, because I think I remember reading shonen manga as a preteen and as a teenager and finding myself feeling like these stories aren't talking about things that are like kind of deeper.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know what shonen I don't really know what a lot of shonen manga is like these days. Though judging from what's popular, I think like My Hero Academia, Demon Slayer, volleyball anime. I guess
that's considered shonen manga.
Yeah.
Yeah, I see. I always associate sports anime with women. I don't know why. Yeah. Maybe it's the fan base. Maybe I know more fans who are women than men. But I guess that's, you can say that about any manga. Anyways, tangent.
Yeah, well, a big, like, I think I heard once that actually a majority of the readership of shonen anime is like is girls and women, and like a lot of those folks tend to be a little bit older too. Mm. So I mean, I think that would make sense. But yeah, I mean, maybe it's just
Twitter.
It could be. Twitter just does saturate the brain. I think reading FMA, I thought that it had more to say about but it definitely brought like a difference of perspective from what I've seen in a lot of other shonen anime and manga, which is usually about like, let's say, like kids becoming like soldiers of the state that are fighting against like political dissonance or like gigantic monsters, etc., or something like that, or becoming superheroes and having, you know, fighting like villains. And instead, FMA kind of like makes you question that a little bit. Like they're like that phrase from before, you can become a state alchemist, and also at the same time you're basically selling your soul to the country. You become the dog of the state. I don't really know if there are many shonen manga out there even right now that make that claim as explicit as FMA does.
I think one that I can think of, not necessarily the anti-state claim, but where the anti, I don't know if I can even classify FMA as anti-state as much as it is anti, I don't know, authoritarian state in particular. Mm-hmm. But mm-hmm. I would say the Gundam series comes pretty close in terms of allegory. The sort of like the war is bad thing, but it's really funny because it kind of gets lost because everyone's like, I love these giant robots. They're so fun to play with. I like it when it shoots out of its arms. I love the guns.
Yeah. So
that gets kind of lost when mm-hmm. when the allegory is a little too flashy or hidden behind flashy things.
Yeah, you make a really good point there. And also Gundam is so, I mean, Not that FMA isn't popular, and also that it's not going to have like a revival at some point. I'm sure there is. I think Arakawa announced like some kind of anniversary project recently, but Gundam has like a million iterations. Like it's very,
Yeah.
very commercialized at this
Yeah,
point.
I think one of my first toys ever growing up that I remember that I had when I was 6 years old was one of those like Gundam models that you have to assemble yourself. And I think that was like my also my earliest memory of like really hurting myself doing something because those you have to use scissors to take apart all of the parts. I think I like stabbed myself in the hand with scissors.
Ouch.
Can't remember which Gundam series it is. There's so many. There's like Gundam X, Gundam Wing, Gundam X Seed, Gundam Seed, Gundam Destiny, Gundam whatever, X Seed Destiny Ultra 4K Plus. I think they're still out making them.
We talked about this a little bit before we started recording, but you haven't seen the Full Brother Alchemist. Oh my God, what? The Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood anime yet.
Full Brother Alchemist is also like a great name for a
Oh,
show
Brother
because
Alchemist.
that's what Edward is trying to do with Alphonse.
Haven't seen Brotherhood yet.
No, I haven't seen the anime. I've seen maybe like I was 20 episodes in when it first came out, and I think I kind of banned and I was like, this is like basically the manga. I don't want to see this again.
Yeah, it's a much closer adaptation, much more faithful adaptation to the original manga series than the first anime was. One thing that was really different was the opening episode, in which we meet an anime-only character who is a state alchemist. He's the Ice Alchemist, and he has discovered something about the leader of the country and also about the military that he finds like morally apprehendable, and he basically becomes a vigilante. We meet Edward and Alphonse for the very first time when they're trying to take down this Ice Alchemist, and they have no idea what he's talking about when he says like, "We have to take down King Bradley. He is corrupt. The military is corrupt, etc." But in the manga, the first time we meet Ed and Al, they are traveling to a place called Lior that has been duped into following a cult, basically. And they meet a young woman named Rose who's trying to use alchemy to revive her dead fiance. I think as the manga was being published, maybe Arakawa was able to like explore that theme of like militarism and state, or militarism and authoritarianism, which influenced how the anime was going to be adapted. Whereas when she was first writing the manga, these two brothers who had done something big bad, and trying to prevent somebody from doing the same big bad thing that they were doing, was kind of like the hook into getting more readers, maybe. I mean, I don't really know, but that was something that I noticed in the anime adaptation, that I found really interesting, because it does set the tone in a different way, I think. But yeah, I don't know. That was just my experience with Brotherhood. Jade, you watched the first anime.
Yes.
Can you tell me a little bit about that?
No, I really don't remember anything about it. All I can tell you is that it was maybe not controversial, but it was definitely polarizing amongst fans because it came out that the anime ended before the official manga did. So the conclusion of the anime was nothing like how the manga concluded. It ended up being really, really strange. There was a parallel universe shifting. Basically, a lot of stuff happened. And then Alphonse, the younger brother, I think it was Alphonse, got transported to like like Germany, like the Germany in our world, he like woke up in Munich and is like a boy. Or maybe it's Edward. I can't remember. One of the brothers like did like an isekai thing, like just like completely transferred worlds. And there was also a woman named Dante. So that was really funny. I think it was kind of like, it was a very like Game of Thrones anime. Like it was like very like the last season of Game of Thrones for like, what is happening? This makes absolutely no sense. Yeah, I actually really liked it. I think I watched it when I was really young, so I didn't like understand. I didn't have good taste or nuance. I was just like, yay, I really loved historical anime. I loved watching anything with like historical costuming. So I was super psyched when they moved into like the Germany plotline. There was also I guess the first anime technically concluded in a movie called The Conqueror of Shambhala, which took place in Germany in the Weimar Republic on like the eve of like fascism. I thought that was a pretty interesting premise. Apparently it was also like widely panned by fans. I guess I just have bad taste. What can I say? I love the 1920s and the 30s. Fritz Lang, the German director, played a part in the movie. I think like you see him like on the set of Metropolis in the movie, and that was pretty cool. That's all I have to say, because I honestly don't remember much from it. I just remember it being like super weird.
Yeah. Totally fair. Do you think it's like somewhat like a divergent storyline makes it easier to digest for young people compared to the manga? Because I mean, I don't know what the first anime is like. So
yeah, maybe so. I think it was the plot wise, it was a little, I think it was less sophisticated. It followed fairly faithfully to the manga up to a certain point. I think even past the actual storyline of the manga, it diverged at some point. And I remember it just, I don't think it went into a lot of like the stuff about Ishval, about this human sacrifice. I don't remember anything about human sacrifices. Nothing about like the like very like on the nose, like ethnic persecution is bad that the manga really delved into. Don't displace people. Scar, I think, was made into a less interesting character. I think he had less nuance in the anime. And what else? And the whole thing with Hohenheim was just a mess. It was so weird. The fact that he, like, I recently just read the synopsis of the anime just to, like, jog my memory again. And I read on Wikipedia, it was like Dante was the former lover of Hohenheim. Like Dante the poet, because Hohenheim was also, like, Van Hohenheim, I think, was also like a real person. Whether or not he did all that he did, no, debatable. But so I was like, Dante, like Dante Alighieri and Van Hohenheim had an illicit relationship. What? Honestly, not surprised. So that was really funny. But yeah, I think it was wackier. I think it was wacky enough. It might even be more interesting for a kid. But also, I don't know if like young children should be watching FMA in the first place. I'm talking like 8-year-olds probably shouldn't be watching it. That's my take. That's my hot take of the day.
Wow, they shouldn't be watching people getting their limbs shredded apart, and also watching human a city literally flooding with blood. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, perhaps. That is something I guess I also wanted to mention about like my comments, or I guess like my thoughts on on Full Metal Alchemist is that, like, I feel personally that the anime is more viewer friendly, I guess, than like,
Yeah.
or consumption friendly than like reading the manga. It is already so, the story is already so intense. And by volume two, you're really like, you know, they introduce the chimera and you're really just wishing you had not picked up the book. But the artwork is so dark. It's basically all in black and white. Like there's like, I don't even remember if there's like any use of screen tones. I'm sure there were. But Arakawa uses such intense contrast in with the black and white that it just feels so much darker to read. And in the anime, it's completely different. It's very, it's, I mean, it's an anime. It's the direction has made it like relatively more colorful. It's just brighter to look at. You're not going to be basic. It's not like a David production, like JoJo's Bizarre Adventure, like everything is psychedelic colors, but it's also not as hard on the eyes in some ways.
Yeah, I think most reviewers of Fullmetal Alchemist will probably agree with you that the anime is a little bit more whimsical, more friendly for maybe younger teens or children, and the manga is a lot more darker for older teens and adults. Yeah, I think I still have a copy of the manga. It's, I think like you, I grew up watching. I grew up pirating all my manga. I don't know. I don't know why I said I think like you. I don't know if you pirated your manga, but I certainly did. Shout out to all those scanlation sites. But I do own some physical copies of Fullmetal Alchemist, but I own like only like volume 4 and 8, and like 12. And
Multiples
yeah,
of four.
it's yeah. I don't know. Maybe I was going for something there. Yeah, it's super dark. I think like in the first volume, the art was not as good, but in the later volumes, it really got really intense. A lot of contrast is what I remember. Lots of black and white, lots of contrast, lots of like shadowy things.
I agree. And you actually bring up a really good point too about the artwork in the manga. I will say, though, I think that the anime is easier to consume. If you forego the manga, you also kind of forego watching Arakawa's art improve, because the as you said, Jade, the first volume isn't that good. And like the earlier volumes of Fullmetal Alchemist, the manga is not as well illustrated as what you could see in volume 27. And I mean, by pretty much volume 8, the artwork has gotten so much better. It is visually really engaging. And yeah, it's a wonderful visual experience if you are ready to see everything in black and white. Here's my final prompt. Would you recommend Full Metal Alchemist to somebody who has never read manga or like watched anime in their life? And if so, how would you recommend it?
That's a really good question. I think I would recommend it just in general. I think it's one of those. I think a lot of manga has its own sort of like tropes of the medium, right? It has things that are almost intrinsic to manga, especially shonen manga. So if you are somebody who has never consumed shonen manga and you don't understand these tropes, maybe you wouldn't like certain series. I think for Fullmetal Alchemist, I wouldn't say transcend the tropes, but I think it would be a very good series for someone who has never read any manga and isn't really aware of the medium. I think I think it can hold its own pretty well. As to how I would recommend it to somebody, I think I'm not super sure. I'm not sure. I guess the question is, where is the hook? We have this discussion before of the difference between the manga and the anime, where in the manga, the hook is sort of this horrible experiment gone wrong. And the anime is sort of, the hook is this political allegory, basically. So I guess that really depends on the person. Is this person more interested in political nuance, or are they more interested in gore and a fun story about alchemy? Are they more interested in the fantastical elements, or are they more interested in what the story is trying to say? So I guess it depends.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would agree with you on that. I would say, I think one of the things about Fullmetal Alchemist too that makes it an easy recommend is that, and this sounds kind of weird when I say it out loud, I realize, but it's not very ethnic. You know what
yeah.
I mean?
Yeah, except for May.
Yeah, except for May and Lynn.
Yeah, now I know exactly what you mean.
Very stereotypical. So like also not very difficult to digest, I think, if you have you don't have much of a deep understanding about like Chinese culture.
Yeah, I think May and Lynn are like very stereotypical like Japanese depictions of Chinese people in media.
Yeah.
Like the way that May wears her hair with like the buns, it's like a very like Japanese depiction of like Chinese clothing.
Mm-hmm.
And the panda.
Oh my God, yes. And the panda.
Yeah, I know what you mean. It's not very ethnic. It's in that it's not set in Japan. The characters are visibly and also like canonically not Japanese people.
Mm-hmm. You don't have to worry about suffixes at all. Yeah. The order of names.
Yeah. And they have like pretty normal. That's another thing I like about Fullmetal Alchemist is that they have pretty normal English names. Like some anime, like Black Butler, CL Phantom Hive. This no English aristocrat has that name. There is no House of Phantom Hive. But you know, like Edward and Alphonse Elric, they're obviously Germanic. Their dad Van Hohenheim is like. Hohenheim is like a German dude. Even in the weird anime, they resurrect in Munich, Germany. Yeah. Maybe Riza Hawkeye is a little weird. Roy Mustaine. Oh well.
I guess I would agree with you in that like is. It seems pretty easy to recommend to people. And I think the story is also kind of strong enough, I think, for folks to be drawn into it. I think in both the anime and also Brotherhood, despite the difference in how they start the story, they both have like a pretty good balance of like action, gore, and also this exploration of... I think knowledge as power.
Foucault is bald.
What?
Foucault is bald.
Yeah, this exploration of.
Can you imagine what Fullmetal Alchemist would have looked like if, like, Arakawa had studied post-structuralism? I would like a sequel, please. Because it's already very philosophical. There's a lot of like legit philosophy in Fullmetal Alchemist. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I want to see Pomo FMA.
Yeah, definitely. There's a lot of like, there's a lot of very interesting, there are a lot of really interesting questions about like the essence of science, how to use science, how to use knowledge.
Yeah.
What is the state? What authorities do the state have? And Arakawa did a lot of very interesting research for this story. She drew from a lot of life experiences, for example, using the law of equivalent exchange from her being raised by farmers in Hokkaido. Also, I think using her knowledge gathered from the colonization of what we know today to be Hokkaido, and also the colonial relationship that Japan has with Ainu people.
Right, yeah.
To discuss state and genocide. And
you laughed after. That's still not good.
And also in some ways reconciliation as well.
Yeah. And sort of a lot of like the very like complicated legacies after colonization. I think that's a really interesting point that doesn't get brought up that much in sort of I don't know if it even gets brought up that much in the Japanese side of the fandom, but definitely not in the West. I've read interviews where Arakawa has talked about sort of the allegory of Japan's colonization of the Ainu people. And she often says, and the fact that she's from Hokkaido is pretty significant. She talks about having both Japanese settler and also Ainu ancestry in her family, and sort of how that informed her understanding of the land that she's on and how she brought that into her writing, which I thought was pretty cool.
Indeed. Full Metal Alchemist.
You have to say it like the anime.
Oh, Full Metal Alchemist.
Okay. Yeah. So to those who aren't aware, during the anime, like, so right before and after the ad break, the screen would just flash on and there would be like this deep man's voice saying Full Metal Alchemist twice, except if you're just like watching it on Netflix, there's no ad break, right? So instead of like watching an ad, you're basically just getting someone being like, Full Metal Alchemist, Full Metal Alchemist. It's always great.
I think we'll have to end our program now, as we are hitting the top of the hour on typically Tuesdays. Thank you so much for tuning in to the show. Don't forget to follow us online. We are on Instagram at Typically Tuesdays. Let us know if you had contact with the Full Metal Alchemist franchise. Let us know, and we would like to know your thoughts about it. Did you also enjoy it as much as we did? Or perhaps you had a different take on what we were saying this afternoon. DM us. We are Typically Tuesdays at Typically Tuesdays on Instagram. My name is Leslie.
And I'm Jade.
Don't forget to tune in to more great CJSF programming by checking out Speak Up every Monday, Tuesday, and Thursday from 10 to 11. Talking about grassroots organizing, community issues, and also local art. We're ending the show with one final song. This is Samaki with Magic.